What's up, EuroLeague family? Welcome back to EuroLeague and Friends, episode number 3. Did you miss us? Because we have so much to talk about. And I'm here, Deniz Aksoy, live from Istanbul, Turkey. But I'm not alone. Today, as always, I have my girls joining me. So let's go to the heart of the action. Belgrade, Serbia. Here it is, Aleksandar Radivojević. Alex, are you still living the Serbian derby dream? I don't know how you call it, but is it a dream? Is it a nightmare? How is your heart rate right now? How are you?
Oh my God, Deniz, you really do love to start the podcast with the difficult questions always. But yes, I'm traumatized a bit, but thrilled at the same time. I mean, I think all of the people who watch derby are still feeling like that. And about the heart rate, I really don't think any heart rate monitor could survive it.
You remember I was saying that Partizan is going to win? And yep. And we've seen it. Who was with me? You remember?
Me.
Hold on. We're coming to you. I'm hearing also some sound from the background. My sister from Greece, from Athens, her derby is upcoming one. So let's go to Vasiliki Karamuza. Vasiliki, are you ready?
I'm always ready, baby. But I think this one will be even more blood and even more sweat. Ooh. Because we don't do friendly here in Athens.
What do you mean? I'm expecting some friendly hugs, not fireworks.
Definitely not. This is not going to happen. Friendly hugs between me and you, yes. Between the teams, probably not.
Well, peace and love. But since I'm mentioning love, let's go to a romantic city, to my romantic, lovely sister in Milano, in Italia. She's living now a life, like she's eating a pasta without parmigiano, you know, Parmesan cheese, because, you know, Olimpia Milano without Ettore Messina is like that. So, Giulia Cicchine, how are you, Giulia?
Ciao. Everything's fine in here. And actually, I never eat pasta. You know, I'm a different kind of Italian girl, but what? You nailed it.
But why you don't eat pasta?
Because I love pizza most. And if I have to choose, I prefer eating pizza. So just to answer your question, yes, you nailed it. It's pretty chaotic here in Milan. But, you know, we are Italians. We love the drama. And but for the other side, Milan is really doing a great job. And it's really doing so, so good. So let's see what's going to happen because we have a derby too.
I mean, we have so many things, so many topics to talk about, as you mentioned, Giulia. So let me give you all the topics first when we're starting, because, you know, it's been hot. Crazy Serbian derby. Xavi Pascual back in Barcelona, and we're seeing what's going on. A triple overtime with Kevin Punter's 43 points. Barcelona-Baskonia game. The Greek derby up next is going to be hotter than ever in EuroLeague. And I was their campaign. There is so much going on and we are ready to talk about. But let's start with the Serbian derby. Alex, the queen of Serbia is here with us. So I'm going to give you I have one microphone, but we have four microphones total. So please have all the four microphones and start. How was it? Because, you know, Brian Windhorst said it's been the craziest. I mean, it's been one of the three top craziest basketball events I've ever been to, and I haven't witnessed something like that, you know. So I'm with him. I wish I was there, but tell me, how was it?
Deniz, it was insane. Like, every guy who were there that night, we would tell that to you about the derby. Not only this one, but every other Serbian derby. But as we spoke before, we always try to, you know, predict what is going to happen, what the result would be, who is going to win with what difference and things like those. But it's impossible to predict anything. It doesn't really matter if the momentum of one team is better in that particular part of the season. It doesn't really matter whose coach is better. It doesn't really matter who have more talented individual players, you know.
it's always about something bigger than basketball. And it was like that. It was just like that in the arena that night. And I loved the campaign. I was there. I was enjoying seeing all the videos on social medias, all the people from all over the, I wouldn't say Europe, I would say the whole world watching that game that night. And it was always, it's always a specific night for me, but like last couple of years, it became more significant to the whole country, to the whole Serbian basketball, and for the people who are included as well. And watching Partizan being down by 16, then bounced back. The last quarter of the game was so intense. A new head coach or assistant coach of Željko Obradović before. Shout out to Mirko Cokolić, for real. I'm not sure what is going to happen in the future, but I would love to see people from the club and the whole club recognizing the coach who helped Partizan the most in very important moment of the season. And he really showed up when was the most important for the club. So many things happened. The fans were mad. It was very loud out there. We got used to that somehow. But really, I think the Serbian derby is like a new challenge for other derbies all over the Europe to put a new record and to put the new standards.
As ESPN reporter Brian Windhorst mentioned, three greatest basketball events, one of the three greatest basketball events I've ever been to. He said about this EuroLeague's Serbian Derby. I'm going to ask you this question. Top three greatest basketball events you've been to, girls. Which ones are they?
I would put Serbian Derby at first place. Any of it. If I have to choose one, maybe the one that Nemanja Nedović finished with a 3-point shot.
Of course.
On Partizan court. But there are many, many Serbian derbies that are historical ones, even before and nowadays. It doesn't really matter.
You're always going with the Serbian ones. Give me more. Give me different ones.
No, okay. It is true. But if you ask me about the different one, the one in Vitoria was very also important to me because it was my first one as a reporter, but not in Belgrade. You know, the first one was in 2018, but the first one abroad for me was in Vitoria, and it was very significant to me. And CSKA won the title then.
I remember. Don't worry about it. I remember.
Yeah, yeah. And the third one, I need to include Serbia again, but the national team, the women national team. I would love to give a shout out to the girls. The women basketball is also huge in Serbia. So, yeah, it was one of the Eurobaskets. We won bronze medal then in 2020, in 2019, actually, in Belgrade. But we were the host, and it was very good to see the girls playing on home court.
Okay, Serbia. Like, please, Julia, say something.
I would like to see. I would like to know if there's something, you know, related to basketball in Serbia that it's not at the highest level. You said the girls, Alex, but I think that even when you you are 5 years old and you play for your team in Serbia, is probably the best thing that can happen to your life. It doesn't matter if it's a pro or something like that. But let's go for me. So I would say, first, the Olympic final, in Paris between Team USA and France. It was an amazing game. And
show us your necklace.
Oh,
show us, please.
There you go.
You can see it.
The Olympic rings.
Of course.
Yes. Daddy, it was a present, a Christmas present for mom and dad. So just to remember that I was there in Tokyo and in Paris, because, you know, everyone said, you're not an athlete. You cannot have a tattoo. No matter. I'll have a necklace. It's okay. So my first one, it's the Olympic final in Paris. The second one, and it was an incredible loss by Virtus Bologna last year in Belgrade. It was my first time in Belgrade. Sorry to mention Serbia again, but the atmosphere is crazy. I've never been in Istanbul. I've never been in Athens. So I hope that one day maybe I can, you know, change this tire. But for the moment, it's Red Star Virtus Bologna, because the atmosphere was insane. And the third one, it's Game 7, 2023 Game 7 in the Italian Championship, the final of the Italian Championship between Olimpia Milan and Virtus Bologna. It was the third week of this final, because, you know, in Italy, and until 2023, they play until game seven. So we needed to wait 3 weeks just to have a title and just to have a trophy. And it was amazing because it was 2023 and all the guys were tired, but the level was so high, even if it was the third week. So I know that probably the atmosphere is not the same that you can experience in Athens, Istanbul or Belgrade. But for me, it's my final of my heart.
Vasiliki.
Okay.
Vasiliki Komšu.
Yes, I will start with Serbia too.
Yay. Of course,
I will start with Serbia too. Alex already mentioned the Final Four that happened there in 2022. That broke my heart as a Greek because Vasa Micic made that crazy three over Sasa Vezenkov. But it was the first Final Four of my career. 10,000 Olympiacos fans traveled there. I was in the rally from a part of the city towards the arena, and it was crazy, I can tell you that. So that's a very memorable experience for me. And I also met Denise there.
I remember, of course.
Yes. So my second choice will be, again, with you, Denise, the Final Four last year in Abu Dhabi. Yeah. We hosted the pre and post game show. And that was very, very special to me too. And last but definitely not least, this year's Eurobasket, 20 days between Cyprus and Latvia. I covered the whole event. I saw so many wonderful games and I had the chance to witness the Greek national team win a medal, which was amazing. So I have to go with these three.
Oh, very nice.
Let us hear yours, Denise.
Yearly Final Four Berlin, yearly Final Four Abu Dhabi,
yearly Final Fours.
Oh, yearly Final Four, because I love finals. This is the problem. I love the finals. I like to see that, you know, I'm seeing the trophies coming from here and then guys are having another mentality during the Final Four in the final games. And they've been balling for that moment. Imagine that mindset. So I'm trying to do the empathy always as I'm like replacing myself into someone's body and then just trying to see and feel how it feels like. And I think that's the most exciting part of the season is the finals. So, for example, this year, I wanted to feel like I'm a Devin Hall. Who had to have that MVP trophy of the Final Four, but it's okay. And who won the cup? So, you know, that's the mindset that I want to feel. Alex, I also want to ask you something, a specific part of this derby, because I was sad. One part of me was sad because I couldn't see Željko Obradović on the sideline. You know what I mean? And I think fans were mad as well. I saw some posters and you know, some songs. I don't know Serbian, but I can, you know, understand some parts. Can you tell me about that feeling and sensation since Željko Obradović, the legend of EuroLeague, was not there?
I think something similar to that, the whole hype, the whole energy around Željko, like never happened before in Belgrade. With all the basketball history that we got with the national team, with the clubs, we never saw something like that. Waiting for him on the airport, feeling that kind of, you know, intense feeling before the derby with no Željko Obradović near the bench. Speaking with the captain of the team, like that kind of relation between fans and the captain of the team and the whole team. Trying to figure out what happened, you know. First of all of us, we were like a kind of a surprised a bit or maybe confused by what happened with everything, with the whole relation between club and Željko.
But imagine, you know, at the end, Alex, sorry to disturb, but imagine me, our EuroLeague family, Kyle Heinz, we called Bogdanović and we're like, we have to talk about Derby. Let's talk about the Serbian Derby and let's talk about Željko. And if you missed that episode, please go on our YouTube and then watch that EuroLeague and Friends episode with Bogdanović, because we talked also about Željko.
Yeah, but the main thing that Željko brought back to the club is like full gym, you know, full right. stands for each game, sold out arena for every game. It doesn't really matter if it's ABA League, if it's Euro League, if it's a derby or no.
that's the main thing with Željko and the whole energy and the hype around the club and him. It's special kind of a connection that he never, I know he has special kind of a connection with Pana too, with Fener too, but this is something else. That's what I think. So I think that was the most important thing, that people are in gym again, watching every game, and it's not something that you can buy, or it's not something that you can see with, you know, winning the trophy or something like that. But it's more than basketball, as I mentioned before.
Yeah, I know it's different. I mean, it's yearly. It's the culture. You can't, as the ESPN reporter mentioned, that you can't have it. You can't have the loudest voices in the arena like you have it in EuroLeague. So this is what makes EuroLeague different, and that's why it's the top, with culture, with fans, with rivalries, with so many voices, and it is the culture. So Vasiliki, I'm going to talk about the Greek Derby, but what's your opinion about the Serbian Derby? How did you feel when you were watching the game?
But I already talked about that. Like, even if you're watching it from your TV, from EuroLeague TV, it's amazing. You can still hear all the voices and all the noise. And all those faces that were courtside, the two extra tournament, the professor and MK were taking it all in. Joachim Noah was crazy. He was like doing like this, and like even the Chicago Bulls made a post about Joachim Noah being the Serbian Derby. Like, that went super viral, as it should be, because everybody should be able to see this image, what EuroLeague is all about, this passion of the European fans, what we do here, why is it so special, and why this year's motto is born, not built, because you can build that. You have to be born and raised.
It's in your blood. It's in your blood. That feeling, that's why I mentioned twice. It's hot in EuroLeague because it's in us, you know. Julia is Italian. Alex is Serbian. I'm Turkish. You are Greek. We're talking about this derby like it's, I don't know, it's like a festival. Yeah, that's the right word to say. It's like a festival. So you're right.
Can I say just one last thing? Because as you mentioned him before, Brian Windhorst, he left and he decided not to go to Vegas because he wanted to, you know, attend to the Serbian Derby. This means totally a lot. And it tells just that, you know, EuroLeague derbies are a different thing. They are totally a different thing. They're probably bigger than anything else right now. But I know your opinion, girls, but now I want to know the opinion of our guys and our girls listening from all over the world and obviously all over Europe. Do you agree with that?
They should agree with that.
Yeah, let's hear them. Let's hear them. And girls, I want to also ask you the rankings of the derbies. Let's start with the Turkish Derby. So, where do you put the Turkish Derby? Fenerbahce Beko Anadolu Efes. Is it S? Is it A? Not B. Not C. Not D. Please,
Denise, let's hear you.
Let's hear you first.
I obviously put it, okay, objectively A.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the right way to put it. Right. Not at the top of the list, but still pretty high. Right.
Yeah.
Agreed. A.
Oh, A. Okay.
Okay, let's put it A.
Let's put it A. Okay, then let's go to Italian Derby, Giulia. Virtus Bologna, Olimpia Milano.
Well, you didn't have to ask me, because for me, it's, as you said, it's an S or it's an A, but, you know, I'm Italian. So, well, I'm Italian, but on the other hand, I know all the other derbies, and I'm sorry. Scusate, Italians, sorry. I would say B.
B? Oh, yes. Wow. I thought you would say you would go with A.
No.
Yes, because you know, if as an Italian, I will put Italy over the top every time, everywhere, no matter what. But I know all the other derbies in Europe, and I have to be, you know, super partes in that moment. So it's a B.
Oh, my God. Non ci credo. I would put A. You, Alex?
Sorry, Giulia. I would put C.
Can you see it?
I go with Julia. It's a B for sure.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. French Derby.
This is a C.
Yeah.
I can't. Julia, how come you're so fast by answering? I want to watch Hifi against Mike James, and it's B. Come on.
No, because no. It's not there's not much history between these teams. We haven't seen them play so many times. And Paris is not as well as they were last year. So the derbies are not so much of a derby right now. So I think C is the more fair.
C? Okay. Alex?
I will go with D.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. Okay. All right. Let's move to Israeli derby.
Okay. There's history there for sure. But we haven't seen many of them in EuroLeague because Hapoel is, they're playing their first season. So we shouldn't put them too high yet. I think I would go with either B or C. I'm not sure. What do you guys think?
Me, D.
D?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought that you were the, you know, the
No, D, because Hapoel Tel Aviv, new face of EuroLeague, and then Maccabi Tel Aviv. So... I need to see it. That's why.
Yeah.
We need to see that derby, no?
Yeah.
We have to wait.
I would definitely put the Israeli derby and French derby at the same place.
Okay. Let's go. I can't wait to see Vasiliki's face. Greek derby.
That's not negotiable.
That's not at all.
Come on.
It's S. Okay. All right. We all agree on this?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Girls. Perfect.
Let's just go do this. El Clásico.
Real Madrid, Barcelona, Barcelona, Real Madrid.
Clásico is so good. It's so caliente.
So good basketball.
So good basketball.
But it's not as passionate.
Yeah, it's
as
like
some other derbies. Yeah. So I would put it A.
Okay.
B, I think it's too low. I don't know.
So Vasiliki, you will put Spain over Italy?
Yes.
Of course.
Well, yes. Of course.
It's not 42 to Bologna contra Virtus Bologna. It's like El Clásico, you know? If it was Virtus Bologna,
I can hear you. I don't want to hear you.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, A or S, I don't know. Can I ask this to the fans? Fans, can you also rank for me? Because I'm indecisive right now. I don't know if I should put El Clásico A or S. So just help me with that, okay?
It's hard for me to finish like this, but for me, super special derby is obviously Serbian one. I would put Greek one on A and Turkish and El Clasico on B.
Oh, Greek A.
Did you say Greek A?
She's Serbian. What do you expect her
to say? Okay. Now we can share.
Okay. We can share the top. I don't mind sharing.
Yeah, we can share. That's
okay. Let's go to Serbian derby.
It's an S.
S.
S. Yeah. S.
It's a S for sure.
Like a superstar's S. Like S. Okay, this is our ranking. So to all the fans, I'm asking, can you comment under our video, how was your rankings? I want to also remind to all the EuroLeague fans that the upcoming Greek Derby is going to be on the 2nd January 2026.
Who's going to sign in this Derby?
I will go with a classic one. Sorry, Denise, go first.
No. Okay, I have two names. One is JD Osman. The other one is Kendrick Nunn.
Okay, you're rooting for the Greens, I see. Yeah.
Well, I'm not. Well.
Turkish players,
Turkish assistant coach. So, yeah.
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 Alex?
I would go with a classic choice. I would say Kendrick Nunn for Pana and Sasha Vezenko for Olympiakos. So we will see who's going to take the last shot and who's going to make it.
Oh, it's going to be a last shot game. Oh, my God.
Last shot game. My heart won't
be able to take that. Please.
No. Olympiakos is not going to be even... Okay. But go ahead, Julia. Sorry.
But do you want me to be a fangirl? Do you want me to be a fangirl or do you want me to be a journalist? A serious journalist?
A fangirl.
So you already know. It's Juan Chernan Gomez. But
are you serious with the rebounding?
But you said
with what though? the rebounding of Juancho.
With the hair. With the hairstyle.
You like that? Okay.
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. Well, if I have to choose between the mullet that he got last year and, you know, I don't know how to call it, with the braids that he got this year, I don't know what I have to choose. Maybe another haircut will be better. But, you know, you asked me to be a fun girl, so here we am being a fun girl. But if you want me to be the professional journalist as I am, I would say Kendrick Nunn. Sorry, Juancho.
Okay. Everyone is going with the greens, but Vasiliki, what's your take?
I will go with Kostas Lucas. I think he's having an amazing year so far, which is very strange because usually he picks up the tempo after February when the games matter even more and he needs to help his team push for a better playoff position. But he has been phenomenal. Like the way he makes decisions, the bare minimum of turnovers, how fast he thinks, how fast he can find his teammates. I think he's going to be decisive in this game.
I agree with you. And I think the trio, the backcourt trio of Panathinaikos is very strong. And they're very, I mean, we're seeing day by day, they're getting better with the Nun, with TJ Schwartz, with Lucas. They're very connected and they communicate better than ever, I think. We've seen it on the double week when they played against Fenerbahce and against Hapoel Tel Aviv. I mean, it's amazing what we're seeing from Greens. Unfortunately, I have to mention unfortunately because I wanted my team, Fenerbahce, to win against Panathinaikos. And I thought that Kendrick Nunn was injured. He was not injured.
He was
injured, but he got healed in 24 hours.
He's a fighter.
He told me. I know he's a fighter, but hold on. Come on. Like, we prepared with thinking that he's not going to be on the court. How do you know, Vasiliki? So that's
you
why...
You shouldn't prepare like that. You should in the back of your mind that Kendrick might play last minute.
Of course. Always. But also, Fenerbahce Beko, my team played very well.
Yes.
I should mention, but the turnovers, that those 22 turnovers... killed us. So
yeah.
Since we're talking about who plays very well, girls, Xavi Pascual, what kind of magician is he with Kevin Punter, with Barcelona, the whole squad? What did we witness against Baskonia? I've seen triple overtime,
wow.
43 points by KP, 40 PIR. It's the most points in a game in EuroLeague. 134.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of points. And they even managed to surpass Real Madrid's record that was in four overtimes with one overtime less. And I don't know what's happening this year. Like, the teams are scoring like they're crazy basketball machines. It's amazing.
Denise, do you remember the game between Real Madrid and FS with four overtimes? Why are you reminding me that game again? I couldn't sleep that night. I mean, the game was, it was finished at 2 a.m. for Turkish time. So, you know, it was like when I went to bed around four, it was a shame for us. But it's okay. It's a lesson that we learned from our mistakes. It's crazy since we speak about Barcelona and everything they did with Xavi Pascual. I wanted to mention also one guy, Kevin Punter. We used to watch him in Belgrade as well, playing for both sides. Often we do hear people when they're talking about Kevin Punter missing the important shots, you know, and always wanted to be the guy who decided a game or things like those. Especially in Belgrade, we are very hard on those kind of players. But what I wanted to mention about the game against Baskonia, 13 points in the last 3 minutes of the second overtime were decisive, to be honest, for me. I agree and with you. He did miss some shots also on that game, but I think we are not allowed to forget what he did for Barcelona. And I feel like the whole environment, the whole group of people he's working with, he's enjoying it a lot. I don't know what you think, girls.
I've been there in the moment when they were changing the coach. So even in that moment, you know, it was like a crisis in that moment. Barcelona was the team thinking, we can do it. We can, you know, we are Barcelona. We are a well-oiled machine. And we know that changing the coach and with all the stuff that are going on like this, with the players that we have, we can do it. So I think that they're really doing a great job. And with Xavi Pascual, they found the key to, you know, switch the season and maybe trying to do something more. And I think that they, you know, we can expect great things from Barcelona. Unfortunately for all the other teams, in particular my teams, because Virtus Bologna lost in Barcelona and I was there, as you mentioned, hashtag I was there.
I was there.
Unfortunately for me. But, you know, it was great. It was great to go there. All the players are, in my opinion, sorry, Denise, to interrupt. They are playing for something more. It seems like that. And I'm so happy to see Barcelona going up and building up the game this year.
And I think, Julia, you're also so happy about something else and another for another team, which is your team, Olimpia Milano, without Ettore Messina. What's going on, girl? Like, this is, they're like lighting up, you know, the fire, and they're playing a great game, great basketball. How do you see Olimpia Milano without Ettore Messina? Especially that Panathinaikos game that, you know, they couldn't even guard Armoni Brooks, I was mentioning before yes. the podcast. So they're in a good rhythm.
Yes, totally. They are. It's strange to think that it's the same team that we experienced at the beginning of the season. Just the coach is different. But, you know, it's not so different because Pepe Poeta was in the staff. It was the vice coach of Ettore. So, I don't know, something clicked. Something clicked, but something is really clicking good in this moment, even if they lost against Fenerbahce. But Fenerbahce is the reigning champion. So it was something that people expected. And, you know, it's something that could happen. But I think that no one in Milan expected to see the team winning in that way against Panathinaikos. It already happened. Even last year, but it was 2025. But I don't know. It's something different. The atmosphere is different. The chemistry between the guys is different. I interview, and I got the chance to speak even without the cameras to some of the players, which I know them personally, and they're like, it seems that we trust each other more, and the trust that's the main key for me. Trusting each other, have confidence.
But I think when you play for EuroLeague, I mean, that's how what I think is my personal opinion. When you play for EuroLeague, when you sign in a new team or when changes are happening in a team, I think you need time to reconnect, to communicate better. So that's what we're seeing from Valencia. That's what we're seeing from Olimpia Milano. Well, what we're seeing from Panathinaikos with the new signing. So that's how it takes. I mean, you need time to reconnect, to rebuild everything, because nothing that you can build in this league is born. The passion, everything is born here, but you can, you know, get better day by day, and it needs time. So what if legends would play in EuroLeague today, girls? Okay, let's say Drejan Petrović. Could he dominate today?
Yes.
I think so too. Like, would he drop like 40 points with that defense? Like, what do you think about if the legends would play today in EuroLeague?
I know it's almost your topic, but I think that if Drazen will play today, no matter all the defense, he was a magician. And I think that he will do, and he will spread his magic into all those EuroLeague courts. So no matter what, no matter the defense, no matter the best defensive player, he will spread his magic and drop 40 points.
But let's say Drazen Petrović versus against Alpha Diallo. Imagine that.
I totally understand why the question is that, speaking about a defensive end defensive and end. Everything that Alpha Diallo is doing right now, he's amazing, really amazing. But that's basketball-wise. If we speak about a wider picture, especially for me, we are very connected to the whole legacy of Drazen Petrović here. He was an amazing player. He was very important to the whole basketball culture here, not only in Serbia, but also for the whole region, the ex-country that we used to live in. And he has a kind of a, you know, he's a special inspiration to the young kids as well. So it's a kind of a nostalgic reminder for all of us that we used to live in the ex-big country, what basketball means to us. So if we speak about Drazen particularly, it's really something else to all of us.
And you know the story. he was almost ready to say yes to an offer from Panathinaikos, from Pavlos Athanasis Giannakopoulos back in the day before he had that tragic accident that cost him his life. The myth says that among his things, they found a piece of paper that said Panathinaikos.
Yeah.
And that he was about to say yes. So I think that would have been amazing to witness. But unfortunately, life sometimes happens and you can't see that. But, you know, I can understand and I can acknowledge these days defenders, especially Alpha, yep. who has been amazing. But Drazen is Drazen. Yeah. He wouldn't score 40 every night.
Yeah,
I think he could kill you.
I think he would score. What do you think? Do you agree with me, fans? If Dražen Petrović would play today in EuroLeague against Alpha Diallo with a defensive end, who would be better? That's my question to the fans. And since we're talking about the past and we're bringing past to the present with the ifs, I want to talk about also the future of the game. Girls, so I mentioned this before on our, I don't know, I think it was the second episode of our podcast, that no three-point line and mid-court shots worth 4 points. Do you agree with me? I like that idea.
Well, that would either break the game or revolutionize the game. I'm not sure what will happen, but it will be crazy for sure. At first, it will be very crazy. But do you, like, centers will start draining three from the logo.
Yeah. Well, I think I like that idea. Imagine, like, I think the Barcelona record of 134 points would be gone in a week, I think. Yeah. Right?
In a week?
No, in a month. I'm exaggerating. In a month. In a month. In a week is an exaggeration. But in a month, I think it would have been, like, why?
Double round week.
Oh, that's true. Okay. I forgot about that. What do you think, Vasiliki?
I'm not sure if I would like that. I think at some point it will happen because we're always trying to find new things and like bring a new side to the game. So eventually it will happen. But I'm not sure because what we like very much here in the EuroLeague is defense. Mm-hmm. And how well you can play against the opponent, how well you can close him, double teams, man-to-man, whatever you choose. So four-point plays, that will definitely change the whole dynamic of the league. So I'm not sure I would really like to see it, at least for now.
Girls, do you like our new hashtag? Because I'm in love with our new hashtag, I Was There campaign.
Yes.
I want to do it too. Shall I do it too in the games where I'm working? And I'll be like, I was there.
Yeah, so maybe, of course.
Yeah, let's put it out.
But you can win the tickets.
Well, yeah. If I win, well, I can't win the tickets, but I'm just going to do it because I like it, you know? So in Serbian Derby, I've seen many. In upcoming Greek Derby, I think I will see more than the Serbian ones. And in Istanbul, in the Turkish Derby, I'm going to take all my people to the arena and I'll be like, put that I Was There hashtag. So isn't it great? So a fan, fans will have a chance to get a ticket for the Final Four.
Yeah. And it's also a great way to show everybody how much the fans mean to the EuroLeague and how big of a part of this league is. Because if it wasn't for fans, nothing would be the same. Not the passion, not the loud arenas, not the crazy atmospheres. So we want them to be present. But we also want the world to see what's happening. That's why this campaign was created.
We want to see them in Athens, that's for sure. But what is the most important thing about this hashtag is to see basketball, EuroLeague basketball from this different perspective. And those are videos that you can definitely not see on a TV during the broadcast. So that's the most interesting part for me, to be honest, to see, you know, one guy standing out there like almost on the top of the arena and watching the game and see people around him. You know, it's very interesting to me. So put the hashtag I Was There and put that video and maybe we can see you in Final Four in Athens. But yeah, so
2026, Vasiliki is coming.
Yes, it's here. As Julia said, Christmas are approaching and this is your very festive episode. So I want to hear your girls' New Year's EuroLeague resolutions. You will tell me the other resolutions after we finish the podcast because that's chit-chat between the girls. But for me, I want to have a great fantasy year.
Of course.
Well,
of course.
Vasiliki, I'm sorry to tell you, but you never had a good one.
Harsh! Ouch!
Wow. What's going on? What? Okay.
Well, you know, it's Virtus Bologna Olympiacos coming, so, you know, I'm putting some fire.
Like, it's not enough that I have Frankie and Javi making fun of me all the time on the fantasy podcast. Now I have you offending me about my fantasy team as well.
I've learned.
No, Vasiliki, I think you should choose more Taylor Norton Tucker for your fantasy league.
You think? Team.
Yeah, of course. I mean, do I think? It's on the stats. Okay. What do you mean I think?
Okay,
he's
okay.
Balling. So okay. He's doing well, mashallah. So nothing happens to him, no injury. So one of my resolution is I want to see Anadolu Efes with Fenerbahçe Beko in the Final Four in Greece. That's all I want to see from my teams. I want Anadolu Efes to be better than before. I want my Fenerbahce team to be the best because they're really good. So they can't get better, but they can be best. And I want also specifically, I want no injuries in this league. But because when I see an injured player, it's, you know, health is more than basketball. So I don't want to see no more injuries. Well, less injuries, let's call it like that, realistically. And Lesort coming back to the court.
Yes, please.
Every single game, I want to see him playing and healthier than ever. And
did you see the video in the parking lot of Oracle?
I did.
He's so crazy about the fence.
I know.
He can't wait to be back on the court.
And we can't
wait to see him back on the court.
We can't wait to see him back. And what else? And I want my girls to be with me always.
We are with you.
Family.
We are.
And yeah, that's all I can say.
A short list you sent to Santa this year, I see.
Well, I mean, realistically, that's all. I can't be like, oh, I want to see that. I want to see this. No, I mean, I want FS Fener to be the best in the Final Four, and one Turkish team will win the cup. And no,
again?
Of course.
No.
Always. 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 Don't forget, back-to-back champions. Which team was that?
That was Anadolu Efes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Julia, you go.
Well, okay, I wanted to see at least one team, one Italian team to the Final Four, but it's, you know, hard. But Santa is a very good man, so maybe he will help. And I would like to see me at a Final Four because I've never experienced one. So I would like to... Never, never. So I really like Greece. So why
You're
not
coming.
Be it?
You're
know,
coming.
Why not choosing Greece as my first one? I would like health for everyone, not only into the court, but even outside the court, because, you know, again, I think the flu will get out for so many weeks. So that's my picks. So I'm my list is very shorter than Denise's one. But if I have to choose, and I'm sorry, Milan, I'm sorry, Virtus Bologna, I would like to see me at the Final Four, then you can come after.
Oh, wow.
No, okay. That's fair enough. I have the same wish, but I was about to say, since we are taking basketball very serious and stressful here in Serbia, I was about to say just to spend more time with my family and friends. But sometimes that can be stressful too. So if I have to choose, I would love to go to the Final Four and to bring all my family and friends there.
Oh, that's nice too.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so we finally arranged a meeting in the Final Four.
Yes, we did.
Okay. So yeah, I already told you about my fantasy team, and I think health is also the most important thing, and healthy way of thinking of the fans, not toxicity, not animosity. The rivalry is only 40 minutes while the game lasts. And after that, we can all be friends and hug each other. So maybe a few friendly hugs at the derby too, Denise. now that I think about it.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much, Vasiliki, because that's all that matters. I mean, you know, we're always seeing the excitement and all, we're witnessing it because that's what the culture makes us have the experience and, you know, witnessing these kind of moments. But at the same time, we have to be respectful to each other. We have to have the inner peace, and the rest will come with the help. Girls, thank you so much. It's been a great, I don't know how many minutes, it was.
Long,
not that much. never enough.
See you next year. See you next year. Thank you so much to all the Yearly fans. Wishing you all the best during the Christmas time and for the New Year's. 2026 will bring you the best, the health, the love, the happiness, and the greatest basketball, which is Yearly. So please don't forget to follow, subscribe, comment on our social platforms, and like, because we like you and we know that you like us. So please press the like button and whatever you see on social media as a content, and see you next year. Sending you all love and kisses. Bye
bye.